Marona Stefanos has never taken the migrants' hazardous trek from Eritrea to Europe. She grew up in Sweden and works for the International Commission on Eritrean Refugees in Stockholm. Her job is to interview migrants for a satellite broadcast to Eritrea on Radio Arena. She says she hopes her reports will persuade her countrymen, despite their troubles at home, to avoid the risks of migration and stay home. Marone criticizes the government in Asmara for a military conscription that drives large numbers of unaccompanied minors to ignore her advice.
A lot of people do not see a future in Eritrea. Over 4,000 unaccompanied minors, Eritrean minors, made it to Europe. What I see when I speak to these young unaccompanied minors is they're very realistic. They know the kind of future that's awaiting them. So they know that in a few years they will be soldiers like their fathers, like older siblings. So they think fleeing is a solution.
World attention became riveted on the migrant flow to Europe this spring when more than 2,000 refugees drowned in the Mediterranean. The European Union began to debate how to handle the thousands who reached the shores of Malta, Italy, and Greece. But for young Eritreans, the trip starts at their southern border, where Ethiopia maintains two refugee camps, Shemelba and Mayani.
Most of these unaccompanied children live near the border of Ethiopia, so which is really easy. They don't need a smuggler. They don't need anybody's help. They cross into Ethiopia, and then they are stranded at the refugee camps in Ethiopia, and there is no way for them to go back to Eritrea. Once in the refugee camps, they are approached by smugglers who offer zero down payments to get to Libya, which means that child doesn't have to pay anything until he reaches Libya. So once that child reaches Libya, then they contact his family and say, your child owes us this much money. Families feel pressurized to pay because there is no going back.
Smugglers then drive their passengers in pickup trucks through Sudan to Libya. Marone says this is the most difficult leg of the trip to Europe.
It's just the tip of the iceberg as far as what they go through. So the hardest part is, you know, going from Sudan into Libya, where you have to travel like packed in a pickup, Toyota pickup cars that are not even fit for four people. They will put a minimum of 36 people packed like sardines. The car is driving 24 hours for 6 days. Sometimes it goes up to 13 days in the Sahara, where the weather is really hot. The sun is glowing in your eyes. On top of that, if somebody falls from the car and you try to stop the driver, then he would just drop you as well with that person. So you just have to continue. A woman knows already that until she reaches to Italy, she will get raped at least 3 times from Sudan all the way into Italy.
The migrant trail is managed by smugglers from many nations in the region. Ethiopian authorities arrested 200 suspects following the beheading in Libya by extremists of 30 Ethiopian migrants. Last month, the Ethiopian government announced that it is working with the International Criminal Police Organization, Interpol, to repatriate 80 more for trial and punishment.
The smugglers are always Eritreans. Eritreans use only Eritrean smugglers. The smuggler in Ethiopia will send people from the Eritrean refugee camp in Ethiopia. That smuggler will send you to the smuggler in Sudan. So the smuggler in Sudan, who is also Eritrean, will receive you and then will send you to the smuggler, to the Eritrean smuggler in Libya. Once you are at the smuggler connection house in Libya, you will be staying at the house of the smuggler, the Eritrean smuggler, but he's got Libyan partners who will assist him.
While many Eritrean migrants reach Europe, they pay a price. Some of them are children, some as young as 7 years old, who usually travel alone without even a brother or a sister by their side. For them, payment is delayed.
The smugglers have people working under them, pretending to be refugees, approaching these young children, telling them if they make it to Europe, at least they can bring their families legally to wherever they are. So these children miss their family so much. When somebody offers you zero down payment, then of course any child would get that, would take that chance. So these people, what they do is, as the smugglers are very creative, the zero down payment attracts everybody. So once your loved one calls you from Libya, everybody knows that there is no return and you have to pay that money.
Marone recalls several Eritreans whose decapitations were videotaped and posted on YouTube. One of them, Tesfai Kadane, first fled to Israel, where asylum policies were being tightened. Israeli officials deported him to Uganda. Then, Tesfaye followed the fatal migrant trail to Libya. Maronas interviewed survivors who encountered other Islamic State executioners.
I have interviewed five survivors that witnessed the massacre of 62 people getting killed by ISIS. So these five unaccompanied children, they managed to escape.
For the thousands of Eritreans who reached Libya's shore in a small boat that may sink, Italy is not far away. This is David Arnold reporting for VOA from Washington, D.C.